the 2006 International AIDS Conference, Time to Deliver, brought to you by KaiserNetwork.org.
Okay. John Cohen, thank you so much for joining us once again at these conferences.
I'm really happy to be doing this again.
How many of these have you covered?
I started covering these in 1990, so this is number 11.
Okay. And each one tries to have an individual signature through its theme. And the theme this year is Time to Deliver. What does that mean, and how many other themes have you heard through the years?
I went through this, actually, because I was sort of hearing an echo in my head from Time to Deliver. So I went through the last few years. Last year was Access for All, which I think is really the same as Time to Deliver. The year before that was Knowledge and Commitment for Action, which I think is really the same. The year before was Break the Silence, which was really kind of the same. And the year before was Bridging the Gap, which is really kind of the same. But I went all the way back to 1991, which was in Florence, Italy, and it was Science Challenging AIDS. And I think that says a great deal about how things have changed.
And how it's more appropriate to this stage of the epidemic.
Yeah, and, you know, since the Bridging the Gap issue, which was in Geneva in 1998, the point of the conference has been, how do we deliver to poor and middle-income countries what the wealthy countries already have, which reflects the fact that at the 1996 conference, it became clear that there were effective treatments. Mm-hmm. They don't cure the disease, but they let people live a much longer life.
When I've asked some conference leaders about the theme and what it means, because it can be read, really, in so many different ways, one word that keeps coming up is accountability.
Yeah.
That what is said here, what is promised here, there needs to be some accountability. Is that a new theme, or is that, again, something you've heard before?
I've heard it before, but it's becoming a more important theme because so many new billions of dollars are being poured into the effort. And when there's new money, follow the money. Where's it going? Is it turning into pills into people's mouths? Is it turning into real prevention activities on the street? What's happening? And I think it's the job of the media in particular to scrutinize it.
How has the personality of the conferences changed over the years as well?
In the early years when I was covering this, there was a great deal of anger from the activist community because nothing was working. And there was a great deal of frustration and despair. And the demonstrations in the streets and the demonstrations within the conference hall were largely staged by people who were dying, and or led at least by people who were dying, and heard the clock ticking. And that's changed. The activism now is much more fragmented. People have many different agendas. And activism still is a big component.
And in terms of the conference participants, I presume it was more narrowly tailored to scientists. But now you have movie stars, singers, high-profile activists. How new is all of that? And how much more pronounced is that in Toronto?
In science, the low-hanging fruit is picked first. And in the early years, there was a lot of low-hanging fruit around because there were so many fundamental questions that hadn't been answered. Well, many of them have been answered now. So in the earlier years, the meeting had a lot of science that made people's eyes pop. And now it's much harder. The fruit's higher up on the tree. So it's simply harder to find things that really tell new stories about the science. I think that stuff still exists, but it's harder. It's harder to
read. And we'll get to that in a moment. But filling that vacuum, in a way, is this kind of celebrity aura that's in Toronto.
An explosion of celebrity. And I don't mean to be too reductionist about it, but I think much of that celebrity rise is circling around Bill Gates. Bill Gates has a foundation that he contributed over $30 billion worth of his stock to. And now he has Warren Buffett's $30 billion. I mean, it's changed the philanthropic world completely, and HIV/AIDS is a central part of their agenda, of the Gates Foundation's agenda. And the celebrity, most everyone wants Gates' money. And the celebrities that are coming around the conference, I can draw lines to Gates again and again. and the politicians and Gates. And it's, I think it is important that Bill and Melinda Gates are the keynote speakers at this conference. You know, that marks a point in time. He did give a keynote speak at the largest U.S. conference on AIDS a few years ago, but not with Melinda and not with this much attention. I mean, 24,000 people are here. And I think it's all for the good. I think the impact of this attention that celebrities draw does trickle down and inform lots of people who otherwise couldn't care less about the subject.
It does get it back on the agenda, at least for a few days.
Or at least for the 5 days or whatever it is. So I think it's a positive thing, but I think it's also something we have to watch carefully.
And in terms of the scientific part of the program, the prevention reports, the treatment reports, will there be anything, to use your phrase earlier, eye-popping?
For people like me, for the aficionados, it's going to be hard to find stuff that really makes our eyes pop. I will find stuff because there's so much here. There's always something to learn. Much of what will happen is I think the meeting will amplify what people at the front have reported in the last year or the last 6 months at other meetings. And this meeting will broadcast that to the world, so it won't be so eye-popping and new to the people at the front. But for many scientists from middle-income countries or poor countries who don't have access to the information, I think it will have a big impact and will make their eyes pop out.
And for the general media and therefore general audience, what kind of reporting or headlines do you expect to come out of here?
Yeah, I've thought a lot about that. I think what's going to come out of here is largely what those of us who cover this routinely have reported in the last year. And journalists typically have this, there's this phrase of if not discovered here, that when a journalist discovers something, if the paper has never run anything on that, then they've discovered it. It's news. Because for their audience, it is news. And I think they're going to be discovering many things that have come out in the past year that have received attention, but not as much attention as they probably deserve.
In prevention, for example?
In prevention, I think you're going to see a lot of attention given to circumcision. The results of there are three big circumcision trials that were organized to see whether if you gathered a group of men, circumcised half and didn't circumcise the other half, would this have an impact on transmission? One of the trials was stopped early last year because they found that it had a major impact, about a 60% reduction of transmission. That received some media attention. I think at this meeting it's going to become news again.
As part of a larger discussion of how prevention is now defined and viewed?
Exactly. We've had this concept of using several AIDS drugs at once to attack the virus, cocktail treatments, triple combo therapy. I think it's now becoming clear that it's cocktail prevention as well. Circumcision gets added into abstinence, behavioral change, condoms. Well, if these other two trials that are underway in Uganda and Kenya prove to work, circumcision becomes part of that package of prevention. We won't learn at this meeting whether those trials have positive or negative data. They're still underway. But it does change the perception of what prevention is. And there are a handful of other things that are in the pipeline that are being studied right now that are equally provocative about how to prevent transmission.
And just briefly, on the treatment side, what are you expecting?
Well, the main thing is going to be the cry for more access and the demand for more access to the existing treatments and to simplifying the regimens for people so they don't have to take as many pills and they get better drugs available in countries that have limited resources. But in the future, there's a new class of drugs. Right now, the best way to get HIV is to hit it from as many directions as you can. Right now, the drugs that are on the market in the United States can hit the virus from three different angles. There's a new drug that's far along in development that hits from a fourth angle, a new angle. The data that we saw earlier this year from that drug, it looks really good. And I think that, it's called an integrase inhibitor, if that does hold up and prove to be safe and efficacious, I think that will have a major impact on treating the disease. Many, many things, if not most things in science, fail. And many drugs that are in development, once you put them into 1,000 people, you see things you didn't see in 100 people. That's the process. So it could be that these drugs end up in the trash can. But right now, I think they look very promising.
Okay, we will talk more about that in particular through the week, and we will talk again tomorrow. Thank you, John Cohen.
Thank you, Jack.